We had one steamer.
In 1918, you had one Brockway truck. Mm-hmm. It was a chemical truck.
What do you mean by a chemical?
Chemical. It was like a big fire extinguisher, you know, like a soda and acid fire extinguisher.
Okay.
It had a tank, let's see, it had two copper tanks on it. Maybe there were 30 gallons, I would say. And then they had a bottle of acid in within them, you know, you put in. And when you turn the wheel, you would tip that acid over, you know, and the stopper would come out. And it would mix in with the soda and the water, and that would create a pressure.
Right.
It would bubble up, you know, foam up, fizz up, and it created pressure, and that's what forced the water out of the hose. That small hose on it.
Okay, now the steamer was something else then.
The steamer was one of a 2.5-inch hose.
And then you had these other trucks that you said was Chauncey and...
The Chauncey truck was the first truck. That was 1918. That came next.
And that was hose.
That was a hose and a pumper.
And a pumper. Okay. All right. The other cars, when we were going way back,
now,
is the reel and the two cars with the hose on it.
Well, before any apparatus, that's what they had. The Curtis hose, the Chauncey hose. The ladder truck was horse-drawn, and the steamer.
Okay.
That was prior. Then in 1914, they got the Brockway chemical truck. 1918, they got the first pumper.
Okay.
Maxim. It was a Maxim, made in Middleburg.
So then we were all set for a while. Now, you were too young maybe to remember when the Whitney House burned down.
Oh, yeah. I don't think I was
born then, probably.
I don't think
but there was a cellar hole then.
Yeah, I remember the cellar hole, yes.
And was it always just a cellar hole until the Forbes School was
That's
built?
That's right. Because you used to cut through there going to school.
Right.
It was the Eli Whitney, you know, the Harvey.
Yeah, Harvey and Eli Whitney was used.
Oh, we used to cut across there, you know, for shortcut. And Brown's livery stable is right in back there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And now, was the livery stable standing?
Yeah, it was operating.
Stable continued, okay. Now, what other fires do you remember, Rocky? Or what do you remember about downtown? The 20s, 30s. When you went to school, what were some of the shops and stores that you saw downtown? What do you remember of downtown?
Downtown? Oh, there was...
trolleys go at that point?
My father had a store right where, at the Burnside building where the beauty parlor is now. He had a shoe store there.
Okay.
He repaired. He was a cobbler. It was a cobbler. He sold shoes, cigars, cigarettes, and whatever. And he had 5 shine chairs there. Them days, people used to have get their shoe shine because the streetcars stopped in front there. That's where the streetcars would people go and get aboard, you know, and the streetcar mm-hmm. and would stop there.
At Summer Street.
It was at it's right on East Main Street.
East Main and.
And Summer.
And Summer, okay.
Right there, the streetcars used to stop right in front of his store, and that's where you get aboard to go to Lake Chauncey, Marlboro, or Worcester, Northboro, and then to go to Hopkins, you go by where over there at. We used to call Welch's Jewelry Store.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because that was that
Corner,
line there went towards Hopkins. It went 4 ways, you know, in town. The trolleys did.
Okay.
I
know you were going to tell me about firemen's musters when you were a kid. What you remember? Where were they held? Firemen's musters.
Every
year.
No, not every year. I don't think it was an annual thing.
Okay. What was the purpose?
Oh, yes. They would hold it, and they would, the purpose was always to get the fire department together, you know what I mean? And that thing, like I say, things were different then than they are today. You didn't have to plan, because the Lions Club wants to come in on something. This was strictly, them days it was fire departments. That's what it was.
I mean, that's all, the only thing in town, practically.
Yeah, that was a big thing then, you know. And I can remember them going down to where the building they tore down the Amor, the old Amor place.
I don't know where that is.
You know, where the new building is for, of course, you know, when I tell you. The new building Bay State built for their sort of, it's a sort of a, not a convention.
Down on Union Street?
No, right here in Brigham and Cottage.
Oh, all right.
They use that as a, what is it, when the salesmen get together. I forget.
Conferences,
yeah. That's right. Do you remember the building they tore down there?
Okay, I don't know if I do, but I'm
we used to call it the Diamond Wheel. It was a red building there.
All right.
That used to be the Amor place. The railroad used to come right up in front there, and they used to unload beef, big sides of beef, you know. And that was a cold storage place.
That was right on Brigham.
Yeah, that's right on Brigham Street. Brigham and Cottage, right at the end of Cottage.
How did you get the firemen out there?
Well, the thing is, one of the things there was they used to jump off that building into the life net.
Oh, right.
That was the big thing, you know?
See if they could save
something. No. It was just a feat they were performing. The demonstration. That's what it was.
All right. What else would they do?
Oh, well, I don't remember.
Same kind of thing as...
You know, that was one of the things, you know, when they get down there and do that. And
They
had hose races and whatever, you know, that is part of the muster, you know. The wet hose, the dry hose. But they didn't have no, like you have today, bed races or any of that stuff, and it was strictly...
Just firefighting.
It's just really the...
Where were they held usually? Were they held in a special field?
No, they weren't held right there. It could be right on the main street, right on East Main Street. Right on East Main Street. Just below, right in front, one year they had it right in front of where the buildings, that straw shop there next... across from Daisy's next to there, right along in that section there, they had muster there.
Okay.
This, I'm talking way back now.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you came on to the fire department, did you have musters to keep?
Oh, yes.
A lot of training? Did you
have
training
we had musters, yes. Them days, every guy in the fire department had a uniform. Every man from way back had always had a uniform. Every fireman had a uniform.
All the calling.
That's all they were anyway.
Sure.
But they all had uniforms.
Do
you ever see a picture of them all in uniform?
I've seen some.
You must have.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's the way it was.
They were very proud to be.
That's right. That's the way it was.
Now, when you were on it in the 30s and 40s and whenever, did you have weekly training for everybody? Did you have regular training?
The fire department always had a monthly meeting. Monthly drill. That's part of the of what you had to do.
Mm-hmm.
Was to hold a meeting every month.
Sure. Okay. So the people that volunteered would know what they were doing and who they reported to.
Well, we'd go out and drills and pump and lay hose and raise ladders and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. That's what you did during the meetings too.
Well, after the meeting, the meeting was after the drill.
In that time, do you have any idea how many call men there were?
There was a full complement. There must have been way back in some of them pictures I see, even just the ladder company had 35 men. The hook and ladder company. I can see pictures of 35 men on that big picture.
So did they have separate companies doing
that? They had separate companies.
What were some of the companies?
Well,
hook and ladder.
They had the hook and ladder.
They were just in charge of getting
the ladder. They had charge of the ladders, the ladder truck, and there was the ladder company, and the Jackson steamer, the steamer company.
They were in charge of just waking
the steamer company had charge just the steamer. That was their thing there. And then the Curtis hose and the Chauncey hose.
All right, now they were
each upstairs has four rooms, and each one of them occupied a room. They had their own stuff, The town didn't buy none of that their stuff. They but the company bought it. Their own carpets in their rooms, and the drapes and whatever. And you know, they had they decorate their rooms, and from what I gather, for what was left, I could see remnants. You know, they had some pretty nice stuff.
Now these later what became your bedrooms? Is that right?
After a period, I think it was in the time when John Crow was chief, they'd done away with companies.
Do you know when that was, when he was chief? Maybe the 30s or so?
Oh, no, before
way
that. Before
first
that.
First Nightman was 1916.
First what?
Nightman, it says, is 1916. So maybe it was then.
Well, it couldn't have been 1916. Who told you that?
Well, this is probably wrong, right? It said, we got the firehouse being built in 1888. And then the first truck you gave me is 1914. Yeah. And then the other one was 1918, which was the max.
They had nobody stayed at the station until 1918. That's when they hired Ed Hogan, and then that's when the Nightmen started.
Okay.
Come on, then in 1918.
All right.
After
that's
the first pumper.
Fine. So that's probably when they changed from the.
No.
No.
No, it was before that.
Well, somebody had to be at the station all the time, or no, or not.
They never.
Really?
No. They didn't have to be anybody at the station before that.
Let's say
1888. There was nobody at the station. That's right. Did see, we had a telephone office in town.
All right.
Now, whatever happened then, I don't know.
Say you had a fire. Who gets the message?
Well, the thing is, they had a telephone office in town. It was located right over, right on Main Street. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to figure out whose store is in there now. You know,
but everything went through that office.
The
operator would know
the
everybody.
The operator knew everybody. You knew them by name at that time, you know.
Sure.
And I suppose they called some place, you know, that would notify. I suppose that's the way it was.
Yeah. Maybe there were these engineers or the companies. I mean, somebody had to be in charge so they could notify someone in the company, maybe, to get down to the police station.
Well, I mean, no, police station. Had nothing to do with it.
No, I mean the fire station.
Fire station, they notified somebody.
Yeah.
And somebody would go up to the station and they'd pull the box up there and they'd get everybody there, you know,
mm-hmm.
because there was a firebox right in the station itself.
Okay. And that's how
you had no transmitter of any kind then, other than that one number, box 43.
So, box 43, when that was pulled, that just
a lot of people didn't know where the fire was, but they go. They would go went to the station, reported to the station.
Okay. So that's interesting. I thought there were people always at the fire station.
No. I can remember when I went there in 1932. There was a switch at the bottom of the stairs. When you came downstairs, there was a round switch with a lever on it.
Mm-hmm.
And you pull that switch over, it would shut off everything upstairs, all the electricity off. That'd be the last man down. Before he locked up the station, going home, or whoever, you know, if there are people up there, guys up there, they, you know, at their, in there, the Lattic, the Hooks, or the steamer company,
mm-hmm.
but the last man out of the building threw that switch and that shut off all the lights upstairs, everything. And that was still going, that was still wired up like that when I came there.
Gee. Okay.
So there was a lot of rewiring of the station, you know. And
sure. Now, when you were appointed chief, as the first chief, how was the fire department organized then? Do you have somebody, assistant chief, working under you then?
Yes, I could appoint a deputy.
Mm-hmm. So
I had Walter Perrin was my deputy when I was appointed chief.
Who eventually became
yes.
chief. Okay, and then how many men worked permanent? Three at that point.
I had three. And then later on at 6.
Okay.
When I left, it was 6.
And when did you leave?
think it was 1973. Okay. Because I don't even know when I...
came on.
As a matter of fact, I've forgotten that place, to tell the honest truth.
Sure. It's
been, I have...
It's been far away. Let's go... Okay, we'll keep going back in your memory then. Other big fires in town. Any others that you remember?
Nothing that I remember other than house fires.
Yeah.
I don't remember... these are the biggies that I can remember that as a kid. Later on, my mother took me uptown to see, because my father had a store there, and all those stores had, there was McDonald's Meat Market, there's a grocery store, and those stores in front where that TV building is across from Daisy's, you know, there's a McDonald's, a grocery store there, and all those stores, the tailor shop in the Burnside building, there was a Fitz Brothers grocery store, and my father's shoe store. And all the stores they had, and other stores, they'd taken out all the stuff to fear the building was going on. It was out in the street.
Oh.
They feared the thing was gone. You know, everything was...
This is 1918. Didn't have to worry about people looting, huh?
No.
They weren't afraid of people stealing
anything. That was unheard of, huh? You know, off the record, I mean, what we're talking about now is you never hear of... anything that's going on today, them days, it was...
Everybody knew each other, right? They kind of...
You didn't have to lock your doors or anything like that. You know, then it was different.
Yeah. It was, people knew each other. It was a small town. They trusted each other.
Regardless of whether it's a small town, even the cities, I don't think they...
Had the same... Okay, now, I was also remembering when you were a kid, or even in the 20s in Westboro. What do you remember what happened in the 20s in Westboro? I know the Forbes began building... the school,
yes.
New Town Hall was built. Not sure what else was going on in the Lake Chauncey.
The Kirkside, Lake Chauncey was going full blast. There was used to be check dancing down there. It was a big deal to get on there Saturday nights. It was a nickel a dance, I think it was a 10 cents. I forgot now what it was. You buy a string of tickets, spend a whole dolly, you know. Mm-hmm. You know, and the place was crowded. And you could look into the, they had big windows, like, but there were boards that they would pull up.
Mm-hmm.
And you could view it, and, you know, see
people. There was a porch around it.
There's porch, big porch around it, you know, and it was all open. And you just about get one dance, you just about make one turn in the hall, and the music would stop, and you vacate, and the minute the last person get off, they'd start in again. But that place, I can remember when Lake Chauncey, the Chamber of Commerce used to have their field days down there. They had, this is something I never heard anybody mention, they had balloon ascensions down there.
No, I never heard of that.
No, I never heard, never read of anybody saying that.
Yep.
But they used to have a balloon ascension, and I can remember right where it was on the gate, there was a gate going into the park on this end, you know, like you do now. I think there's a gate that goes, not a gate, but there's a driver that goes right in, and then the other exit was down at the other end of the place. And right there is where, right next to the road there, they have a big, big pit dug out, and they have a fire going in it. And the fire created the gas for the balloons. And I can remember all the men holding the ropes around the balloon as the balloon, you know, got up and started to lift. And all the men would hold it, and this guy would get in the basket, and when it was time, and they let the thing go, and he'd go, and I can remember him drifting over towards, not towards the hospital, but over towards the right, over to, we'd say, towards Marlboro.
Mm-hmm.
And that balloon would get up in the air, and he'd drop out a parachute, a red parachute with a weight on it, you know,
mm-hmm.
and then a white one, and then they'd fire off a gun right at where the thing started off from, you know,
mm-hmm.
and then he would jump out himself in the parachute, yeah,
oh.
and come down. Later, that guy, they tell me he got killed at a fair in Brockton, I think it was the Brockton Fair.
He wasn't a Westboro person.
Oh, no,
he
no.
He was brought in.
He brought in.
Was he like 4th of July or some?
I don't know. It was
When you were, how old were you?
Oh, geez, I don't know. I just barely remember it. I can remember
8 or 10.
I can remember the chances they had. You know, you throw a ring, and if you went around this wristwatch, wristwatches.
That's
was a big thing then, you know. There was a theater there.
Movie theater?
There was a big theater there, There were swings there, seesaws down in the pines there. Boathouse, big boathouse. People used to go there, and they had a lot of canoes there. Most of them are all canoes.
We said a bowling alley. Do you remember a bowling
alley? They had a bowling alley. They had a restaurant. Yeah, that's up at the dance hall. That was next to the dance hall.
Do you have any idea when did it stop? What happened to Lake Chauncey? Why did that all stop? Do you know when? Was it the war?
It wasn't. It was before. Things started to change then, you know? Lifestyle was different, you know?
Maybe after the First World War, maybe that happened.
The
Depression came.
I would say, you know, the lifestyle of people change, you know what I mean? And then.
Do you remember when Bay State went in? Do you have any idea when Bay State was built in Westboro?
Oh, yeah. Oh, I can remember, sure.
Was that in the 20s?
Early 20s. So let's say, take a guess, 24. All right, there were the base they started on the building, which is there now, which was a power station for the Street Consolidated Railroad. It was a powerhouse.
Oh.
That's where the original, and you know, the building, you're going down the base state.
This is on Union Street.
Union Street. You go down to the end, naturally.
Mm-hmm.
And that building on the right is an original, there was a big smokestack there, big chimney, great big chimney. They tore that down later on. Tore that down, but that used to be a powerhouse, it was a boiler room for the street railway company, you know, make power for the streetcars.
All right, so
They came in there and started, the three men, Leonard Crowell and Aurelio Buckner and George Bullard, the three original founders, and they started that, and then...
Was that the first big factory in town, modern factory in town? I know there was shoes. What would people work in town? A lot of people went to work at Bay State, did they?
Well, after Bay State was start to get built, that was the shop in town, you know. But they tell me way back, of course, this is nothing I can quote on, because they said they had a lot of sleigh shops around here, and there was a lot of places that
they were making shoes, they were making sleighs.
There was a lot of business in town here at one time.
But then in the 20s and 30s, it seemed like it was just Bay State.
Yeah, that's right. It was from when Bay State started, then they started putting up new buildings, and that's from then on, the biggest part of people worked down there.
And, I'm thinking of where people worked in Westboro in the 30s and 40s. It was mostly Bay State.
Well, at that time, 30s and 40s, some of them worked at a lot of the tradesmen, like carpenters and masons and stuff like that, worked at the state hospital.
Mm-hmm.
They worked in these places like the hat shop, the when they were running the shoe shop, when they were running
the underwear
and the trunk and bag, and that moved out, and something else would come in, Bartlett's box shop was running down here. Before where the Bay State is now, there was the bedstead there. They used to make beds.
Was that up of?
That was right where the research building is, research and development.
That was the bedstead.
That was the bedstead. And they had their own blast furnaces there. They used to pour the steel for the bed, you know, the forms.
Oh.
Pour the bed right out. Made it right from scratch.
In the forms, huh?
They made the bed frame. They poured the bed, you know, they're all steel frames, you know. Salk or whatever.
Was it just called the Bedstead Company, or is there?
No, it was the Fog.
Because there's an old one that used to be the Gilmore's, but that was way back in the 1800s. So this was probably in the same place, but the guy continued on.
I think it was Fog afterwards.
Okay, and then
I'm listening to. I can hear some of the guys telling me now, and I was. You know, that worked there, and of course I remember when the thing was operating.
So we had a Bedstead factory, then was
there was Bartlett's Box and Lumber.
And that was right at where? Union Street again, or Britain?
Coming down Brigham Street, you go around that freight house, you know what the freight house is?
Yeah.
That was in full operation then, them days. You go around that corner and Bartlett's Box is right there, right along the railroad, right on the full length of the railroad there. They made boxes there, they plane the wood, you know, and you could hear those planers all over town, big planer in there. They sold lumber.
And
they made a lot of boxes, they made boxes there.
Probably for use on the railroad too, I would guess.
Huh?
What did they use? The boxes were used on the railroad for packing things too? Or, I mean, these boxes, big boxes.
No.
Wasn't used at all? The railroad didn't buy them?
No, they didn't pack them days like that. The railroad didn't buy them. It's the companies that shipped by things bought them.
Yeah.
The companies or wherever they sent them to.
Right.
You know.
The factories in Westboro that were shipping things out on the railroad would buy the boxes.
That's right.
That's what I meant.
And they were probably taking other towns too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they may have put them on railroads and shipped them boxes out someplace else. I don't know, but I know it was a place that was running. There
okay.
Was
so any other one you remember? Do you remember the tannery?
Yes.
Now, do you know when that was going for a long time? Was that going when you were
sure,
a kid too?
Sure. I worked there, as a matter of fact.
Oh, you did? All right. Tell me where this, what did they do?
They tanned sheepskins, kangaroo skins.
Kangaroo skins?
Yeah.
The stuff came in from Australia?
Yes. All those skins came in from Australia, New Zealand, Scotland.
And they come
sheepskins, you know. But the kangaroos came in with, you know, once in a while they get a big shipment of kangaroo skins.
And they'd bring it, the shipment would come in down
the skins used to come in big casks.
By the depot, or did they unload some of the
freight? I forgot how they did come in. I forgot, it came in by freight.
Was there a freight place separate from where the depot? There was a freight place.
The freight yard is right over here in Brigham Street, and the depot is down there in East Main Street. That's the passenger.
Okay, so they would stop at the freight yard and then cut across to the passenger? I'm trying to figure out how this all worked.
The train split. The rails, you ever been way down to the railroad?
Mm-hmm.
What, see, you have no idea. If you give me a piece of paper.
Piece of paper again, sure.
This barrel's back.
This is at the freight yard.
Yeah. And then you bring the empties back to the freight yard.
So people would buy a barrel of beer?
Yeah, buy a barrel of beer, yeah.
And you said, and the coal came in, and what was the name of the coal company that was there, Kimball's?
Those Kimball's had it here.
So
Nason had theirs.
This was on.
I'll take that back. I got to redraw this.
This is Brigham Street we're talking about, though.
All right.
Right.
Right here.
Passenger went off to East Main. The freight went up Brigham to the freight yard.
You're getting a little wrong here.
You better
right
talk.
Down through here. Well, that's supposed to be straight. All right. Bartlett's Box, they had lumber stored all the way up along the tracks here.
This is all Brigham Street.
Yeah. Well, of course, Brigham Street is over here now. It's coming over here this way. This is Brigham Street here.
This is along the tracks.
This is along the tracks. Bartlett's, they'd store their lumber all along the railroad here, and the factory was, well, they stored along here, and say the factory was right here. Bartlett's box.
And the bedstead.
Then the bedstead was next to it. There was a driveway in between. You could get down this back road, you know. Mm-hmm. And after the bedstead, there was Kimball's. Had a big, there was a big building there. Mm-hmm. Big.
This was coal, huh?
That's big, yeah. They had it stored up in bins way up. It had an elevator and all that stuff.
Oh,
there was
all
a big,
right.
There's pictures of that. That was Kimball's.
But that was all coal. All right.
That was all coal.
And
this
then
is
we had
the
bins.
Bedstead. And then Bartlett's box that ran all out. She had the lumber stored all along through here. Now,
and then
that, on Brigham Street here now, you had the Armour Company.
And that was bringing inside to
that
the
That was
huh?
where the corner of the end of Cotty Street, and that's where the railroad siding came also over here, came right up Brigham Street right in front of that place there,
oh, all right.
and unloaded beef, big sides of beef. Now, where machinery specialty machinery is, you know, on Brigham Street mm-hmm. there, you know, way back they used to make neckties in that shop. I never heard of anybody mentioning that. That used to be a necktie factory at one time.
Okay. Interesting. And then you said the tannery also, though that was...